You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. A rule in the works from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid would set a minimum standard for nursing staff at nursing home facilities, the ones that participate in Medicare and Medicaid, anyway. Understaffing and staff turnover has been a chronic problem in the senior care industry. And on top of that, our next guest says the industry could use more significant changes than just more staffing to meet the current need for nursing home services. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a connection to a nursing home in Wisconsin? Do you live in one yourself? Have a friend or loved one who does? How is the level of care? Does it feel like there's enough staff, nursing in particular? And if you work or have worked in a facility like this, what do things look like from your perspective? Are there efforts underway to increase staffing? Do you see a lot of turnover in staff? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Barbara Bowers is Professor Emerita at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Nursing. Barb, welcome to Central Time.
Great. Glad to be here.
You've done a lot of research on this. You've talked to people who work at facilities. You've done focus groups with residents. Seems like everybody agrees that there's not enough staff to go around. Is that right?
I think that's pretty universal. It'd be very difficult to find someone who, especially people who live there or work there, to say that there was enough staff.
What is driving that shortage?
Actually, several things. For one thing, there's a very high turnover rate. The turnover rate for the direct caregivers who are certified nursing assistants, CNAs, is over 100% in a lot of facilities, but the average for the U.S. is about 80% annually. So that's a huge loss of people. So even if you recruit a lot, if you're losing them out the other end, you're not going to have you're not going to be able to retain a good level of staff. There's also, if you just look at age demographics, the number of people who are younger, and most of the CNAs are younger. It's a job that people often get out of high school. So if you have the ratio of younger people to people who are aging and needing long-term care is declining. So we have fewer and fewer people available to become caregivers. And then I think the third thing is probably what's going on with immigration. In the past, we've been able to sort of fast track CNAs and nurses from other countries. And there's a big debate about whether or not that's an ethical thing to do, sort of poaching people from countries who, quote, taking their staff who they really need for their own population. But that aside, probably about 30% of CNAs in the country were born somewhere outside the United States. So those three things happening all at the same time, I think, is leading to a real crisis.
Now, that rule I mentioned from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, trying to set at least minimum standards, set new minimum standards for nursing staff. This is still in the works. It's not a done deal yet. What strikes you about this effort to have this rule passed?
It's very contentious. I think the nursing home industry providers are always wary of mandates. I think one of the biggest thing they're worried about is because of the lack of availability of people to work in nursing homes, they're concerned that a staffing mandate would be impossible to implement. I think that's a big worry. The other worry is that more staff means more expense. And so there are a lot of people in the industry who are saying there's not enough money to actually pay staff. Pay additional staff. And pay level has been an issue for a long time. The pandemic, actually, because there was such a shortage, allowed nursing home workers to actually get pay increases. They are traditionally about 75 to 80% of what you would get paid if you worked in a hospital. So the pay has been an issue for a while, and is certainly one of the reasons why it's hard to recruit and retain staff.
Barbara Bowers is with us from the UW-Madison School of Nursing, looking at low staffing levels, just not enough workers to go around to provide nursing staff at nursing homes. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Eric joins us now in Cedarburg. Eric, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great topic. My grandmother spent the last 15 years or so in a nursing home in Milwaukee. And she just passed away, unfortunately, at 102, which was amazing. Wow. In the first place. But I have to say that the staff Well, first of all, the underemployment of staff at these facilities is just tragic. And the people that are sticking it out, that are working there, they're so overworked, they're so underappreciated. And you know, mandates, you know, that's a difficult subject, but people need to realize that these are your loved ones that are being taken care of, and needs to be so much more attention. I'm so glad for your program today. And just kudos to all of the people that are working there, that are working long hours and really underappreciated with very difficult situations. And I just wanted to make that comment so that maybe the public can really start thinking hard about where funding needs to be applied. So that
Eric, thanks a lot for the call. And Eric references, you know, the people who stick it out and stay in these nursing home jobs, maybe under difficult conditions, amid lots of turnover. Let's get into that, Barbara. You've done a lot of work on what can make better working conditions. It is not just a numbers game, not just more staff, but how staff are deployed and treated. Could you share some of what you found?
Yeah, to follow up on something that Eric just said, I think they're probably not underappreciated, but you know, when you put a loved member of your family in a nursing home and they have to wait a long time for even just basic things to be taken to the toilet or to, if someone's in pain, to get pain medication, families get really upset, and their frustration, I think, gets taken out on the staff, even though families do generally really appreciate the staff who are taking care of them. So this is I think it's a really tough situation. So that's one thing that contributes. Another thing is these workers often can't make ends meet on one job. So a huge number of nursing home workers actually work two jobs. This was an issue during the pandemic because you had workers who were going from one nursing home to another and spreading COVID by doing it. So they weren't able to kind of stay with one institution, and which is a great way to prevent spreading the virus. So the fact that they can't make ends meet with one job, working two jobs, often they are the caregivers for extended families. They're seen as people with the knowledge and the experience to help out others. So those are some of the external things. And internally, I think there's a real issue with the way most nursing homes organize their care. The staff tends to not work in teams. They work very individually. Part of that is driven by the low levels of staffing, so that people are just focused on the tasks they have to do and don't really have time to create cohesive teams, back each other up. They don't have time to go to continuing education. There is very little continuing education provided for nursing home staff. They have requirements. For example, you have to learn infection control, use of fire extinguishers are some things that are mandated by the state. But actually, a sense of building a career by learning more, developing knowledge, most CNAs in particular don't have that experience. There's no career ladder. There's nowhere to go. Now, some nursing homes have actually changed that, where they have created some career ladders for CNAs. But in general, that's it. You take a CNA job, and that's the end of it. There's no place to advance or to be promoted. I think also one of the things I'll say about the nursing staff who supervise the CNAs is they often are not trained or experienced, skilled in supervising. So many nurses I've talked to, when I talk to them about their role as a supervisor of CNAs, they talk about discipline and making sure that people do things right, instead of really acting as a mentor. And I did a study in the greenhouse homes, which has set up a very strong mentoring relationship between the nurses and the CNAs. And it works beautifully, with everybody feeling like the care is better, there's room for advancement. And even if you don't have a new specific position, one of the things you do get is a sense that you are developing as a professional. So I think, those are some of the other things that we really need to change.
Thanks.
And there's social stigma as well. People are sometimes embarrassed to say they work in a nursing home because of the response they get from people who haven't really spent any time inside a nursing home.
Thanks for that call, Eric. We're talking about challenges facing nursing home facilities in Wisconsin, including, but not limited to, chronic understaffing. Barbara Bauer stays with us, Professor Emerita at the UW-Madison School of Nursing. A new proposed federal requirement facilities that for facilities that participate in Medicare and Medicaid would call for increased nursing staff. Our guest says more changes are needed, too. You could join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Barbara Bowers, Professor Emerita at the UW-Madison School of Nursing, looking at staffing shortages in nursing homes and other problems that lead to high turnover among staff at nursing homes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Jonah is with us in Green Bay. Jonah, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, what'd you want to tell us about, Jonah?
So my grandpa on my dad's side died less than a month ago. We actually just had the funeral on Monday. He and my grandma, my dad's mom, have both been in and out of the, or were in and out of the nursing home system quite a lot in their final years. And I got to see that personally. And I personally got to see a lot of the, you know, issues of being understaffed, or especially just workers clearly being fried out of their minds. Like, they can't even put the much less the physical energy, but the emotional energy necessary to take care of elders just wasn't there. And I don't know. It's just become a very personal issue for me.
Jonah, I'm sorry about those difficulties and for your loss. Thank you for calling in. Barbara, I'm sure Jonah is not alone in that observation.
Right. One of the things I've observed and heard residents say is the more short-staffed a facility is, the more frazzled the staff gets, the more short-tempered. Clearly, the care declines when people are pushed emotionally and physically. It reminds me of a study I did a long time ago where I was talking to CNAs who had left, was doing interviews with people who had actually left an organization. And one of the things they told me was that when you go to work every day and you really want to do something good, and people take these jobs because they care. I mean, they're not well paid. It's tough work. So it's a special kind of person who gravitates to a job like this, but they get so burned out. And what I heard from them was when they are in a position when they can no longer provide the care they know people need, that's one of the things that actually drives people out. They see themselves doing things that they don't approve of. They don't like watching themselves work.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Jonah. Brooke joins us now in Eau Claire. Brooke, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
I'm actually a hospice aide. I'm currently going to school right now for nursing. I have the pleasure of going to people's homes, nursing homes. We go absolutely everywhere, wherever our hospice patients are. I have been working with hospice for over 2 years. And like with after COVID, we've had a lot of travel agencies come into our nursing homes, CNAs to nurses. And I feel like a lot of facilities now, because they can't get people to come into work, they're paying so much for these travel companies to come in and work for them. The quality of care is actually going down. The workers feel like they're not being compensated like they should be. With Barbara mentioning the career ladders, I feel like every facility should do that, and we should be implementing high school students to come in and try. It's a community. Nursing homes are communities. We need to have kids and families see that, like, this is a part of our community. And when I was in high school, I actually did the CNA work-to-school program, and I haven't left healthcare since.
Brooke, thank you so much for sharing that story. So much there, Barb, we can talk about. First of all, Brooke referring to traveling nurses who can make pretty good money, I think, but are a stopgap. Is that something that's affecting nursing homes?
Yeah, it is. And for a long time, in order to fill the short staffing, nursing homes have used agencies, which are not, it's sort of the same in that they are not permanent members of the organization. They are accessed through an agency. They don't travel around the country like travel nurses do, although there certainly are some travel nurses now in long-term care. But for years, they're called agency nurses, have been a significant part of the nursing home workforce. And Brooke is right in that they are not familiar with the staff. They're not familiar with how the organization operates. They don't know the physicians. They don't know the family members. One of the most important things in quality of care and quality of life, which is a really important issue. I mean, when that's where you live, it's not just the technical care that you receive, it's the whole ambiance and the feeling of being part of a community. And that's impossible to maintain when the people in that community are constantly churning, coming and going. One of the most important quality of life factors is what's referred to as continuity of staff or consistency of staff. It's a consistent assignment of the same person to the same resident in a community where you get to know the person, they feel like a friend to you, they understand the little things that make your day better. And that is just completely gone when you have to use a lot of agency or travel nurses. So I agree with what Brooke has said. But if there's a, th this is one of the things that I know organizations are afraid of with a staffing mandate le level, more and more agency nurses might be required. And also, as she said, they cost two, three, four times more than regular staff do. So it's a huge issue.
Thanks for that call, Brooke. Karen is with us in Osceola. Karen, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Rob. I couldn't agree. I'm an RN and have been for years. I couldn't agree with your guest and the previous caller, Brooke Moore. This is multifactorial, but one thing we, as far as legislature, we've got to reimburse for Medicaid patients better. On these places can't survive when the reimbursement rate is so poor. And it's like the nursing homes, they can't survive. So and why don't we treat people who do this kind of work, like you, if someone's gone to law school, ooh, maybe we need to, anytime I meet a CNA or that you ask somebody what they do, I'm always like, God love you. Thank you so much. Your work is really hard and we need more people like you. I mean, we have to elevate their status in our society. I don't quite know how to do that, but I mean, this is really hard work and it's a tough problem.
Karen, thanks for the call. I think to Karen's first point, Barb, I think I heard you nodding along when it came to Medicaid reimbursements.
Yeah, this is a really interesting issue. There's a, as part of that CMS bill, that's or the rule that they're proposing in terms of mandated staffing levels, there's another section that talks about transparency in organizations. So there's a lot of controversy right now about where does this money actually go that organizations are getting? And so there's a lot of concern that money isn't going to the staff, but there's significant profits to be made in these organizations. And so that's something that CMS is planning to look at a little more closely. And I think that's going to be a really important thing to look at. How much money is being taken out of the organization for profit as opposed to increasing the pay or benefits of the staff there? And Medicaid is a particularly low payer. And one of the things we know from a lot of research is that the more Medicaid residents you have, more people who are supported by Medicaid funding, which is, as I said, is lower than Medicare and lower than private pay, the worse the outcomes are, and the higher the staff turnover and the lower the staffing. So it all kind of goes together. But I think it'll be really interesting to have a look at where the money is actually going. And then, I mean, that's important information to have in determining what the level should actually be. One of the things that, with all these things we've talked about that increase the payouts, whether it's agency nurses or turnover, costs thousands of dollars per person every year. The advertising, the orientation, the the lower level of productivity in terms of new staff who are just getting used to the facility, all of these things continue to increase the costs of nursing home care. So it's a really a perfect storm with probably, I would agree with the caller that there isn't enough money going to support Medicaid residents, and this translates into less positive outcomes for the residents. But I think we need more information about what's happening with funds before we make decisions about how much more needs to be put into nursing homes.
Thanks, Karen. On a related note, just about out of time, Barb, but a caller is wondering, she says a local small town, locally owned nursing home is now owned by an out-of-state company. I've seen articles about private equity firms buying in. Briefly, is that a big deal?
Well, again, it's controversial. I think it's a big deal. I think, you know, these private equity firms are not in the business of providing healthcare, quality of life, care for older adults. They're basically real estate companies. And I think this is a huge problem that someone who's focused on, this is not real estate. This is care of people, support for staff. So I'm sure there are people out there who disagree with me, but I'm very uncomfortable about these organizations getting involved.
Barb, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today. Mm-hmm. That's Barbara Bowers, Professor Emerita at the UW-Madison School of Nursing. We talked to her today about challenges facing nursing home providers in Wisconsin as the industry looks at new federally proposed minimum standards for staffing and a shortfall in staffing facing pretty much the whole industry. Still time for you to share your story. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Coming up later this month, hey, imagine a winter member drive with only one day of interruptions to your favorite Wisconsin public radio programs. That sounds pretty good, right? Well, that is our plan this time around, but we're going to need your help to make it happen. We still have to raise the same amount of money as a 7-day drive. You can help us reach that goal with your gift right now. Plus, now is a great time to give. When 500 people donate before February 28th, an extra $20,000 will be unlocked for the news, conversations, and music you value. You can give right now. Do it online at WPR.org/donate. And thanks so much.